What's up, Howard?
You know, I just got dinner waiting on the stove, man.
All right. We'll make this one fast. We will make this one faster than Janae hitting the floor.
Wow.
Bam. There you go. Right off the bat. No class.
There it is.
This is John Papa Giorgio. The show's Papa's Basement. In papasbasement.com, show's website. I'm joined today by Howard Flood, off camera, for those of you who are watching currently live on YouTube.
Oh, that's what took you so long to set up. I forget you do that now.
Yeah, I snuck on a little visual element. they get to see all this visage.
You should take the zipper down a little bit on that sweatshirt.
Give it a little cleave?
Yeah.
Nice. I like
some
it.
Some of that chest hair?
Sex sells.
Oh, that's your shirt. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference.
Yes, there is a dense, dark color underneath, but it's just a green t-shirt and not my Greek chest pube forest. So for those that are not in the know or don't really care about sports news or...
Dude, this is not sports news. This is the front page of every paper.
This is everything.
Website.
I know, but my 70-year-old, 71-year-old mom is going to be like, who is Ray Rice? Because that's how they talk when they get like that. Except for mine. She's still loudish.
Well, she still knows the words NFL running back, right?
So. Yeah, she'll know what's going on. By the way, this is not a dirty episode. I will have to catch my naughty that I just made right there.
All right.
So for the two of you that don't know, Ray Rice, who's been in the news for several months now for having clocked his then-fiance, now-wife, Janae something or other.
Palmer, I think. I can't remember.
Palmer? I don't know. I wish it was Janae Green. I used to fool around with a black chick from Baltimore named Janae. It may or may not have been Janae Green. I'm realizing I probably shouldn't put her name out in public like that, but she was an awful human being. So if she had her teeth rattled loose like that, I'd be cheering for the man.
Wow.
And trying to battle his suspension down to nil. So a couple months ago, this took place in, I believe, AC, right? Atlantic City?
Yeah. In Atlantic City Casino Hotel Elevator.
Vegas is incredibly trashy, little brother. Just a horrible place. If you've never been to Atlantic City and you think it's going to be like the Vegas of the East, just stay the hell away. It's a dirt hole. It really is bad.
There's an excellent documentary, I believe it's on HBO, about Atlantic City crack whores.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Boardwalk Empire.
No, I was thinking more of the 80s.
You're right. That wasn't you going for a joke. There really was like a documentary on Atlantic City crack whores, and I remember watching it.
You turned to it thinking like, this is going to be so funny, and it's like, oh my gosh.
My soul hurts. I didn't know there was a human soul before this, and now I'm convinced there is one, and I hurt right in the middle of it.
Mm. So I learned a long time ago that Atlantic City is where dreams go to die. But
it's a horrible place. So horrible. So a couple months ago, there was footage of Ray Rice just dragging his unconscious fiance out of an elevator in an AC casino. And, well, it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes or Poirot to figure out what went down exactly. He cold cocked her, and he faced what was a pretty laughable suspension when they got down to it. 2 games. I know for performance-enhancing drugs, you get 4 games.
No, for weed. You get 4 games.
No. It's PEDs are 4. Weed is, I think,
it's 4.
One.
No, it's 4. It's the same. Really? Same treatment, man. That's why they're making the joke about recreational drugs versus domestic violence. It was taking Molly gets you 4. Punching Molly gets you 2.
Okay.
That was the joke that was being put out there.
So the outcry, there's been outcry over this. The entirety of the comedic and really just the world in general has crapped all over Roger Goodell and the NFL for doling out what I think pretty much all of us can agree was a really, really light penalty, especially look at the suspension in terms of what they gave Roethlisberger a couple years ago for something he was never brought up on charges for. Like, we all joked that he raped a broad in a hotel or whatever, but in truth, it turned out she was a real psycho, if I recall.
No, like, him and his buddies are assholes.
Yeah, okay, look, he's no saint. I can see him raw-dogging anything that will bend over in front of him. But in my heart of hearts, I believe he did nothing that wasn't consensual with that chick, and he wound up getting a 6-game suspension that was lowered to 4.
I can't believe we're fighting about Roethlisberger right now, but no, I think what he did was, like, very much on the edge. Like, in that beyond gray territory. I think what he did was,
are we talking about bathroom rape or
bathroom rape?
Oh, bathroom rape was just a little rapey. I'll give you that.
I'm talking
about the psycho broad. I thought, was that not the one that, okay, did that not get him six?
Are you talking about, I have no idea what you're talking about.
There were two incidents.
Okay.
With that rapey man.
It was the bathroom incident.
All right, bathroom was a little, I'm not,
that's the one that got him the serious suspension.
I'm talking about the chick who was joking, like emailing her friends about the fact that she had sex with him, and it was like calling herself Mrs. Roethlisberger and that stuff. And then all of a sudden it was like, wait, I was raped. He's not returning my calls. He raped the hell out of me. This is no longer funny. That bitch can burn in hell. All right, so he got six reduced to four for whatever the hell he did, which was never really conclusively proven, yada, yada, yada. I'm not really going to stick up for Mr. Rapist. Two games for beating a woman's face in, knocking her out cold, that's nada. So in the wake of that, they've increased the penalties. First time for domestic is six games instead of whatever the hell it was. They didn't really have a set penalty in place before that. And year-long suspension, I believe.
Possibly indefinite after that.
Yeah, possibly indefinite. What broke today was a video released by TMZ. I love, by the way, that the hardest hitting journalism in the country, the only journalists that dig for a damn thing in this world anymore, work for TMZ.
Well, in sports in particular.
I'm just
TMZ
saying,
will always
well, especially,
go,
especially yeah. in sports. But I'm just saying, this day and age, you're not getting Woodward and Bernstein finding the Watergate tapes. You're getting someone who's going to get footage of, you know, Janae getting her jaw cracked.
Yeah, well, part of that has to do with the overall problem that you have with sports media and its close connection to organizations like the NFL. I mean,
they're so in bed with each other. Isn't like the Times the official newspaper of the Redskins right now or something? Like, it's insane.
Yeah, no,
how
there's
much
always
of a buddy-buddy.
A bidding war, and so there's no desire to find out exactly what happened, really, for the major papers because, you know, they need that programming. They desperately need NFL games on NBC, CBS, Fox. Whereas TMZ, I mean, yeah, they're a gossip mag, basically. But they have no stake. They have no skin in the game when it comes to making money off of sports. So they're the only ones who are going to go out and, like, really dig for this, apparently.
Well, boy, did they hit a home run. And, I mean, they've hit them in the past, but holy, this was a grand slam. They got the actual footage of Ray Rice decking his fiance, and let me just say, she went down like this was punch out and he had hit the star button. If you remember playing Mike Tyson as a final boss as a kid and he just flashed and all of a sudden Little Mac was on the canvas, that's what this punch was like. This guy, I swear to God, could have been like a middleweight if he wanted. This is the fastest punch you're going
to
see.
What you pointed out to me, and I don't know where you got this from, but it's the reaction after the punch that you really highlighted to me is the real problem with Ray Rice here.
Oh, the way that he drops her, and instead of immediately shrieking, oh my God.
What have I done?
Yeah, almost doing a red fox clutching his chest. It's just a smack of the lips and... oops, gotta drag this KO'd bitch again. This doesn't look like Mr. Rice's first time at the knockout rodeo.
See, and yet, here's my thing. Having seen the video today, could have guessed that's exactly what had happened in the elevator based on the old footage where they had only shown, prior to today, the video of him dragging his then-fiancé out of the elevator. I had a pretty good idea, as you pointed out at the beginning of the show. I had a pretty good idea of what happened in that elevator.
If you see footage of me walking into an elevator with Howard, and I'm holding a shotgun, and 30 seconds later, I'm dragging Howard's headless corpse out of an elevator, guess what? I probably shot Howard. You don't need the footage to put that together, do you?
And I guess the weirdest thing about the story to me is, I don't know why we're talking about the indefinite suspension and the Ravens cutting him today. Because these are things that should have happened previously. This is not something that...
Everyone dropped the ball on this. So the commish's excuse, for those that don't know, he immediately Goodell goes into spin control. He claims the NFL did not see this footage before this incident, which seems like BS for a variety of reasons, not the least of which they're a huge organization that's probably going to want to cover their ass against everything they can. But Goodell himself in a prior life was a lawyer. You're telling me he's just, when the video was released already to Ray Rice, and probably law enforcement agencies have it, You think he's content to just be like, well, this is what I've seen via a website?
Not like I myself am a lawyer and I can tell you exactly how you make sure that you never see a video like that.
Okay.
You talk to the police. It's like, okay, so we have this footage of outside the elevator. Does the casino have a camera inside the elevator? Yes, they do. Do you guys have that footage? Yes, we do. Okay, well, that's not going to get out, is it? No, we'll keep it that way. We'll never see it, because that's going to be the story. If you've never actually seen it because you made sure that someone had control of it, that's the story you can tell the public. They had to have gone out of their way to make sure that they never saw the footage inside.
You're saying they buried their heads in the sand on it.
Absolutely, they were willfully
blind. I thought you were
going to
say the technique for making sure no one saw the tape was pulling the VHS out of the VCR and writing kid porn in marker on it, across it. I figured that technique, you know.
No, this is there's a way to make sure that you don't see something that you don't want to see. And
okay,
that's,
so,
I think, the level that they went to because they wanted this to go away.
You're going with willing ignorance. I'll believe that. I'll believe that. So this gets out. NFL suspends Rice indefinitely. Ravens cut him. Also, very nice that the Ravens didn't give a crap to tag on any games whatsoever to the suspension. They could have said, you know what? NFL gave you two. We're going to give you another six because you're a piece of crap. He came back, if you remember, I believe preseason or during practices, to a standing ovation from the crowds,
jeez,
you know, for going
yeah.
through this. And I'm not going to get on my high horse. I can't say I've ever cold cocked a woman. I do find crime and punishment in general fascinating. Like, to what degree what do you have to commit before you are known forever by what is your worst moment, at least publicly? Like Bill Clinton, we know he's an unfaithful guy, right?
Right.
He cheated in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky, at the least. And yet, when you look at Bill Clinton 20 years later, you don't first think of him shoving cigars into interns, right? He's allowed to live past that. His worst day is in the rear view. But it's funny. You get beyond a certain point. Like, you look at Charles Manson, and you're never like, oh, he's the silly guy who gave those tapes to one of the Wilson brothers back in the day. He had a music career. No, Charles Manson's a killer. He's a cult leader, and that's all he's ever going to be. Similarly, Chris Brown. There's never going to come a time where you see Chris Brown 10, 15 years from now, and you don't think of Rihanna's mashed-in face.
Right.
And Ray Rice, he's in the same place. It's weird to me that Baltimore was cool with forgiving him and, like, applauding the fans were in that day, you know, that day he came out to practice.
I guess
for the
what
first time.
Alarms me the most in talking about crime and punishment, and this relates more to his accomplices in this, really, which is the NFL and the Ravens, is
yeah.
they were really hoping to get away with bringing him back without this videotape surfacing.
Absolutely. You cannot get mad at Ray Rice and not get mad at the NFL or the Ravens. They all, what do you think the two games were about? They just wanted it to be like, let's get him back. We know you fantasy owners want to draft the guy, you knuckleheads.
Because he won a rushing title, I believe.
Yeah,
this is
like
a guy who
2 years ago or something.
Yeah, yeah, so this is a guy that
he was hot. It's like, had this happened a year earlier, he had a crap year last year.
Yeah.
Had this happened a year earlier, this would have been that much bigger.
Right. And this is the problem for me, that it looks like he's only being punished now in front of the public, and
because
everybody's. This is why I just want people to not accept what the NFL is doing as, like, them finally doing the right thing. This is them covering their own butt. This is them really trying to make sure that they get in line with everybody else to be mad at Ray Rice, when in fact they need to be standing up there right with him. Because I'm with you on this, as far as I don't know when we can look at Ray Rice and look past this, but I certainly know that he's now not just he's not just the problem, but he's indicative of a bigger problem. And so I don't know where you want to talk about this issue first. If you want to keep focusing on, like, when do we let him back into the NFL? Can he ever come back? Is he ever allowed to be a public figure in the future? Or should he just, like, basically be offed because he has no chance at ever being accepted in public ever again.
I think the NFL, now that this comes out, dumps as big a load as they can on this guy to make them look better. To be like, holy God, look how we're sticking it to Ray Rice. But you're 100% correct. If they had their druthers, we would have heard about the 2-game suspension and gone, well, thank God he's not going to be out that long. Thank God they were nice enough to only give him 2. Had they given him 4 or 6, I really would have been upset with them. But thank God they only went with 2. They really saw it. I swear to Christ that people would have been really pissed had he had been missing for an extra amount of time, because they would have loved the narrative of like, okay, the Ravens had their first year where they missed the playoffs under Flacco and under Harbaugh, but look, they're back. They didn't want to be seen as tinkering with that much more than they cared about punishing this guy for caving a broad's face in. And that's another thing, by the way, that his defense floated before this tape came out. They're like, hey, look, I mean, she was knocked out cold, and he's an athlete who deals with 350-pound men crushing his skulls in, and she weighs 110. But there's a chance that she antagonized this. You know, she hit him, and he was defending himself. You watch this footage. The goddamn Tyson-Spinks match lasted about 80 seconds longer. And I believe that was, what, 88?
Yeah.
Yeah. She gives him a swat. Now, Howard, you've had a swat from a girl, right?
Right.
They find your cell phone, you did something, you know, texted something you shouldn't. I'm
pretty sure you don't deliver a right cross as a proportional response.
Yeah, especially if you can preacher curl 225.
I think you can do a little bit more than that, so.
Exactly. This is a man who is muscle and bone and rage. And he cold cocks this chick, it looks like, as hard as he can, because she goes down. I mean, there's something terrifying in how out cold she is. This video would have been 10 times better for him if she just rubbed her jaw and looked woozy and went to one knee. He hits her and life escapes her body for a bit. That's what makes it so damn creepy.
And yet, I don't understand how this sheds new light on something that we all already knew about.
It doesn't. They just got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, finally.
And so I guess that's part of my problem now with the way that everyone is approaching the situation, because it's going back to this crime and punishment aspect of this whole situation. Everybody wants to let everyone else know their opinion of like how condemned Ray Rice should be. That this is an awful thing. And the hardest part about these situations is the victim here is now his wife. And so his livelihood has just been taken from him. How does this actually affect the person who got clocked? I think this makes her life much, much, much harder. This is being played out in a public sphere in a very ugly way. And so I think as much as people really want to get on the mic and voice their opinion about this, I think it's only serving to hurt the victim the more that all of us obsess about this situation.
Sorry, I'm now really, really pissed. I was like trying to make this great video and everything, and once again, we had mic issues with it, so it's just like a muted video.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's awesome like that. I love the setup here. God bless the station. Oh, we even had a new subscriber who was apparently turned on by videos without audio. That'll be delicious.
That's how I filled dead air on
I even
show.
Came up with a great, great title called Ray Rice Should Have Been a Boxer.
Wow.
Zippy.
How am I on the show again? Jeez.
Not wisely. Not because you have any instinct for self-preservation.
I kind of do. I'm not on camera.
Yeah. Oh, Christ. All right. Well, we can bail out of the Ray Rice talk. Because
it's a massive buzzkill.
Yeah, dude. Like, no joke. I don't get what it is to hit a woman. I don't get what it is to hit anyone weaker than you. I mean, other than awesome and lopsided. But beyond that, It's so conflicted. Like I was saying, what if this really is, he's done this once or twice, and what if he really does go to anger management and he truly learns some to meditate and count to 10 and junk like that? We can all dogpile on him, and that's fine, and he deserves it in light of this coming out. But it is weird how you cross a certain barrier and you're just known for the crappiest thing you've ever done.
I mean, that's the whole point of the criminal justice system in a way. You have ex-felons, regardless of their conviction, who now have extremely difficult times finding jobs. And it's one of those things where you got 1 to 5 for a class X felony in Virginia, and you're probably never going to work again in the state. So it's an alarming situation that we put people in, because, yes, we do need to punish them, but at the same time, there's no way to really tell if somebody's been rehabilitated or not. So most employers, at the end of the day, err on the side of caution and just decline to hire somebody with a felony conviction. And yet, how are people ever supposed to return back to any sense of normalcy if nobody will ever even hire them? So forget about Ray Rice. I think compared to a lot of people, he ought to have the economic stability that's possible for someone who's earned as much in his lifetime as he has to date. I mean, maybe he spent it all at this point. I don't know. But he's made more money.
Stereotypes he has.
He's made more money than most people who are convicted of felonies ever even see. So to the people who are like age 18, make a bad decision, and then have to live with a felony conviction for the rest of their lives, I mean, these people are not going into the job market with great prospects. Any job that does a background check is going to have a red flag come up. And so we live in a society where people are being doubly punished now for whatever it is they did. And it could be minor. It could be pretty damn serious, too. Don't get me wrong. I understand that a lot of people don't want to hire a murderer. But at the same time, like,
yeah,
what are we asking of people?
Unless they murdered a wife or husband. Because then you're like, I get that. Or you killed your mom. Yeah. Like, sometimes they just drive you nuts. But outside of that, yeah, she killed a stranger. That's frowned upon.
Yeah.
Family's easier to comprehend.
So, I mean, what do we do now? What are we supposed to do with people who go to prison and aren't left there to die? Because they got to come back, and you can't just, like, take them from any option of, you know, supporting themselves. Because that's essentially where we try to put people.
It's heavy, man. It really is. And we want to put zero thought into it. Like, we do so much of our lives. We really just want to think things are going to be taken care of for us, because it's hard enough managing our own lives. But it is something fascinating to contemplate. If I gave a crap about the show, we would then discuss it. But I have a sore throat and I'm sick as hell. So I'm just looking to fill time. What, we got 20 minutes, I think, in.
All right, good. I'm hungry, man. Come on.
Okay.
Let's get to Comic-Con.
All right. Well, let's talk Comic-Con, Baltimore Comic-Con. How's that for a segue as smooth as you just made it even smoother. For those that don't know, I also write a comic called The Spookies. It's you can find it, actually. I don't give the URL much anymore on the show. TheSpookiesComic.com. Very difficult to figure how that could be the URL for a comic called The Spookies. I know. So I went along with Howard over here and the artist, Jerry. I'm not going to use his last name, but I'm not going to use a stupid alias either.
You're such an ass.
Why? I didn't give his last name. It's spelled Jerry. There, everyone's fooled now, Howard. We're okay. So we went to the Baltimore Comic Con to promote the comic. And, you know, maybe not the best bit of logic. Comic cons are really for established comics. If, you know, you wanted to see 20 guys dressed up as Batman, that type of thing, then, yeah, that's what Comic Con's really for. But we figured, what the hell, we'd go there, try to shill our wares. And it was a trip. It was an incredible experience, just because I'm not a huge comic guy. I know I'm geeky and weird in a lot of ways, but I'm more like
Magic the Gathering geeky as opposed to comic book geeky.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, like, look at a lot of hardcore pornography and stay in my room geeky.
Stop. Show your true colors. Tell the people.
Oh, yeah. I don't look at lots of porn. Yeah, sorry. That was me trying to sound cool, Howie. Love me porn. Yeah, I like some geek stuff. Like, I'm playing Diablo right now on Xbox. I don't think that Xbox is particularly geeky, but, you know, I enjoy me some Magic. I at least keep up with it, even if I don't play it a ton. That's about it for me. Comics, my spiel on comics, man, I don't get how you can enjoy the month to month because so little happens.
It's very soap opera-esque.
Yeah. It's like, what is it, Apartment 5C or what the hell is that? You know, you remember those adult comics?
Oh, you're talking about the strips.
In the funny, yeah.
So you're talking, because you guys do a strip.
Well, we do a strip, yeah, a web comic, but we turned it into a paper comic so we could sell it there.
But comic books are slightly different. I mean, you've kind of basically come up with a comic strip that's now been brought together into a single volume, as opposed to like a Captain America type comic book, which tells
serial.
You know, not really much of a story from issue to issue, which is, I think, the complaint you were making about comic books generally.
Nothing happens. Do you know that I am aware of the entire arc of every Marvel comic from 1960 or whenever the hell they... No, they were like in the 40s. Marvel was 60.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, from 60 until 90, because I used to collect comic cards.
Yeah.
And they would summarize the superhero's whole story in the span of a paragraph on the back of two or three cards. And I know everything. Spider-Man, I know Green Goblin, I know Gwen Stacy, I know how he, you know, his origin story, all that junk. I know Wolverine and Weapon X from getting three cards, four cards max. You're telling me 30 years worth of comic mythology is summarized in three paragraphs? Someone's dragging this out.
It's a strange audience, because do you remember when we were kids? This dates us somewhat, but they killed Superman?
Yeah, Doomsday, the big guy did it.
And shocker, they brought him back. He wasn't actually dead.
Yeah, but they only brought him back after I bought the special Death of Superman issue and then the four aspects of Superman that came back. Do you remember them?
Yeah, they were the four collector.
There was like Superboy.
Yeah.
There was like a cyborg looking Superman.
Man of Steel.
There was Man of Steel, and I don't remember the other one. The other one really looked like him, but had sunglasses.
It was hugely panned, if I remember correctly, by people who are fans within the comic realm. The people who actually bought this crap really were upset at this story arc. So it's the sort of thing where you have the people who are constantly there. Do not piss them off, because people like you and I, who only show up when it's like, really? Is Superman dead? I'm going to buy this issue.
Yeah.
We're not the people that they really need to depend on for their income.
Well, for my money, that was the beginning of the end, too, because then he came back. So, like a couple months ago, they're like, oh, we're killing Captain America. Or maybe that was a couple years ago at this point. It's like, cool. How long is he dead before he comes back? Then, if you just type in Spider-Man, Wikipedia, do you know how many alternate fractured universes in Marvel there are now?
That's annoying.
Oh my god, dude, it's become, I'm not saying this for exaggeration, it's exponential the last couple of years. There, it's like, here's the XR-17 Marvel universe, here's this Marvel universe, here's pre-mending, here's post-mending. I can't do it.
Well, the point is that there's so many Marvel universes that their fans don't have enough brain power left to process new artwork from independent artists.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We might as well have been selling bottles of AIDS. It was not a hot mover. But my whole point is, I don't get the comic thing, especially dudes were coming dressed up. There's a lot of Deadpools. Like, I know Deadpool, again, from my little comic cards. But we saw lots of Deadpools. I saw Jon Snow. That made me happy as hell. So there's a little Game of Thrones in there. Game of Thrones I can get behind.
You kind of assaulted that guy when you got your picture taken with him. I don't know if you've looked at that picture, but you were like, hey, can I get my picture taken with you? Guy was like, sure. Then you walk up and you just like drape your arm around him and are bear hugging him. And he just has this weird look on his face like, you never said you could touch me.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's because any guy who's putting that much work into a Jon Snow outfit, not great with the social aspect. You're allowed to hold someone. It's not like I goosed his ass and slipped a digit in during the photo.
You look like you wanted to, though. You look like you wanted to.
I put my arm around a guy who was like 5'5" with long hair and the Jon Snow facial hair. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
He wasn't built for that. He wasn't built for any sort of interaction. If he looks scared, so be it. Maybe I got him out of his shell a bit. Point is, man, forget the guys that were dressed up. Women in cosplay. Is there nothing better?
See, I thought you were kind of disappointed with the haul that showed up on Friday.
No, there was something really dirty hot about it. For those that don't know the term, cosplay is just dressing up in costume as a character you like. For example, there was at least, I'm not saying this with any exaggeration, 10 to 15 Khaleesi's from Game of Thrones. I think her name is Daenerys or something like that. She's the blonde girl who used to get naked a lot on the show and now is too hoity-toity for it.
No.
And will not get naked anymore because that makes us unsee her tits and vulva that we saw in season one. But there's a lot of that. There's a lot of my favorite that I saw on the weekend. A lot of girls dressed as Silk Spectre, I think her name is, from Watchmen. And she's almost like in this little short yellow cigarette girl at a boxing match circa 1940 outfit in these black garters. And then like black visible black panties on some of them. Some of those that really went out. And look, I'm not going to say the average chick doing this was a 9 or 10, but she wasn't a dumpster fire either. And I think what makes it so sexy is that a lot of these chicks are not the type to get into swimwear and go and let the sun touch any part of them. So you're just seeing these like milk white asses and thighs. They're not putting this much skin out any point the rest of the year. This is, you're getting it. You're getting it better than their boyfriend or husband. You're seeing them parade around in this little fantasy getup. And it's hot, man. It's hot. I'm sorry. I know. Look, I'm not saying make them feel uncomfortable. I'm not saying touch them. Rape is frowned upon. Don't do that either. But if you want to give a good ogle and fill the spank bank till the year 2525, you can do it at a comic convention looking at cosplay chicks.
Well, maybe that's one of the critical points, though. This is your first Comic-Con, right? Baltimore?
Never been to one before. And don't get me wrong, I'm a horny, disgusting pervert. If I had to pay more than a dollar to look at this again, I wouldn't. But as I was there as a vendor, it was a nice bonus to sitting on my ass and not selling my comic.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, I don't think the Baltimore Comic Con has got the same draw for cosplay that others have.
It has Baltimore girls. They're full of crab cakes and beer and heroin. This isn't the San Diego Comic Con where it's a bunch of chicks that woke up on the floor of the Playboy Mansion and shoved their big fake ones into a Wonder Woman bustier.
It's the as close as they're going to get to Hollywood for many people out in San Diego.
Exactly, yeah. Hun.
So, yeah, no, Baltimore is a special Comic-Con. I don't like it. I haven't really been to any others myself, but I would much rather go to other ones before I ever go back to the Baltimore one. It is most problematic at Baltimore, the fact that they don't really have celebrities. As it was explained to me.
Oh, you mean Peter Mayhew, a.k.a. Chewbacca, was not celeb enough for you?
Well, he was the only one.
I saw him. Oh, he could not have been more disinterested.
If you had 8 to 12 celebrities from different sci-fi shows.
Joel Hodgson.
It's
Mystery Science
Theater.
It's
what people want. They want to see like a wide range of these interesting people who are like now has-beens because they couldn't get work. After, like, this B-list sci-fi show.
You want to say, like, you want to get that little blonde sidekick that Xena may or may not have been banging, and then the little blonde sidekick that Hercules may or may not have been banging?
Yes!
Yeah, like, that is the perfect tier of celeb. Or maybe...
None of that in Baltimore!
Let's go nuts with it. Starbuck from Galactica.
What Baltimore is all about is emphasis on the writers of comic books, so you can meet a bunch of old white dudes who happened to draw and write these books.
Yeah, didn't we see Charles Schultz's like great-great-great-grandson?
I believe it's just his son.
Dude was old.
He was old. So was his son today. Anyway, I'm saying like this is not my idea of a fun time at Comic-Con. To me, the comic books are really just ancillary to the sci-fi experience. That's what I'm about. I'm a big sci-fi nerd. I guess I'm more of a Trek-Con kind of guy, which I still need to do. I still have yet to do a Trek convention, but that's my jam, man.
I did not see any sexy girls in Star Trek jumpers or whatever. Like, no Deanna Troys with the big Elaine Bennis hair.
It's not that scene. All the people who are of that ilk do not go to Baltimore Comic Con. So I'm telling you, people, do not go out of your way to see Baltimore Comic Con unless you really do want to meet the guys who illustrate comic books.
Well, it was like mad expensive to pay to get in, from what I heard.
Yeah, I don't like that convention, man. They didn't even turn on the AC for us on Friday till noon.
Oh, until
such
the
a jerk
actual
move.
Event began.
Yeah,
so,
oh, it was so hot down there.
I was just so even fatter and sweatier than I should have been.
I felt so disrespected in general.
That was a bit of an FU.
So, I don't know. I'm not very happy with the organizers of the Baltimore Comic Con. I think they do a bad job, to be honest. So, I'm not going back.
Lordy. I'm still tripped up that I saw so much skin.
See, but then there's that. And I guess, like, I can't hate too much because it did have its positive elements. It's just, like, if I'm going to have to spend time, let's forget about money, but if I'm going to have to spend time at one of these events, there are better ones to go to locally. Even AwesomeCon, from what I heard, is, like, a much better deal.
Okay. You and I, we grew up dorky. I mean, we looked like, and we definitely didn't get any. But, you know, you're watching... what's it? Next Generation.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah, as a kid. Hold on. Miriam wants in. Howard, can you open the door for a second?
Yeah.
See what's up. Sorry, guys. What's up, Miriam?
Hey, guys. We actually want to record a voiceover in here. How much longer do you think you need?
Like 10 minutes, maybe?
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, cool.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
No problem. If I cared, I would edit that out, but instead you can just...
We need the time, man. Are you just going to throw on like the 15 minutes we recorded from the floor at Comic-Con to the end of this episode?
No.
Yeah?
Definitely. That was horrible content. We attempted to podcast from Comic-Con, and all I wanted to do was talk about how badly I wanted to, you know, F every broad in costume walking by me.
That's pretty much the bit you just did here.
Yeah, but I can do it loudly. I don't have like girls next to me who are going to creep the hell out that I, you know, we had booth mates. Who would have been right next to us, then looking at me, sideways for the next 16 hours.
See, I've been threatening to take you on the road, where like, hey, we should go to a bar and record there. But
I
now
would,
I'm wondering.
I would feel even less sketched out about that.
What, just like ogling girls at the bar?
Well, no. First of all, they're not on display quite so much at the bar. Second of all, we're not stuck next to anyone.
Okay.
At the bar, but yeah, I like the freedom to talk. What can I say? But... point I was trying to make before we were so rudely interrupted by someone trying to get into the studio that they own and work in. Does it kill you, not a little bit even, that girls now are just openly nerdy as hell, and back when we were kids, that did not exist? Like, people who are 10 years younger than us cannot comprehend that girls did not play video games when we were kids.
I guess that aspect of it is a little different.
Like, it was... girls had dolls, boys had army men and video game controllers.
I don't know. I think that there was a way to meet your perfect nerd girl back in the day.
What were they even into? What were they allowed to be into that was nerdy? You know what I like? A chick who was hardcore into comics back then, I can't even comprehend that as a thing. And then 10 years have gone past, and like I said, there's... friggin' 8.5s on Reddit Gone Wild showing off their Triforce tattoo that's an inch above their pie.
I mean, it's always been there. You just didn't know where to look. That's going to be my take on you. At this point, I've known you long enough. We were hanging out in high school together. I definitely went with some of my other high school friends to Ren Faire.
Those were the drama queers. Those aren't the nerds.
See, but... no, man. I disagree with you. If you'd sucked it up and actually tried to go with some of these folks to Ren Faire... you would have had the same impression of girls who were showing their tits wearing Ren Faire costumes. It was awesome when I was 16. Still awesome today. Didn't change in the last 20-some years, all right?
Did they shove an apple between their jugs? I love that. The little fruit slice.
Just, I'm not going to pretend like this wasn't available when we were 16. It was there.
Not nearly in the capacity it is now. Give me that.
I don't know. I think sci-fi is more readily available. There's more sci-fi television shows.
There were not always, so many little, like, 10, 12, 14-year-old girls who were just, like, real cute girl. Like, they would have been the cute girl in their class. I'm not saying that they would have been, like, the 10 of the class, but they would have been fine, like, in these little Doctor Who TARDIS dresses and, you know, wearing Star Wars crap. I'm like, this didn't exist. When I was 10 or 12 or 4, I would have given my left nut to have that chick in my class.
I mean, yeah, I'll say that. Like, the internet has definitely changed people's ability to find what they like sooner in life. It's definitely
the
sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. You don't have to become 18 and move to New York City to find someone who is slight, you know, shares your slightly off bent.
Yeah, I think farmersonly.com is out there.
Yeah.
Weird. No, I'm just saying, like, everybody can really find their thing now online. It's really weird.
What, so you can have sex in Rhythm with the Harvest? That's bizarre. The last thing that I kind of really loved about Baltimore Comic Con, there were a lot of really, really nerdy black families, and that made me happy in my heart. Like, say, even I deal heavily in stereotypes in the show.
But, didn't notice.
Yeah, yeah.
Hadn't noticed before you mentioned it, but yeah, I guess that is true.
I cannot tell you how many it was like. You would see the black family with, like, you know, everyone dressed as Sue Storm and Reed Richards or whatever the hell his name is. And just entire family costumes. It really made me happy. And this wasn't like a one of or two of where you point to the black employee and you're like, look how integrated we are. I'm talking like 20% of the convention, something like that. There was a lot of nerdy black dudes, and it made me happy as hell, man.
I mean, having lived in Baltimore, there is something interesting about that city where you do feel like you live in an alternate universe. Yeah. It's kind of different than the America that everybody else lives in. Because it's still America, you know? I still get decent internet access. I can watch all the same TV shows everybody else does. But when I talk about, like, walking down North Avenue at 2 a.m., that only means something to people who live in Baltimore.
Do you fear for your life? Because if that's what you mean by it, I grasp what you're going for.
There's just that moment where you realize, like, I probably don't deserve to have my wallet by the time I get home. Ugh. I just hope I can get there. Ugh.
Well, those were not the sort that were at the Comic Con.
No, but listen, it's the fantasy world that you want to live in that's other than the place you actually live. And that's part of living in Baltimore, I think. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's the fantasy of that commander in Full Metal Jacket who's like, inside every gook is an American screaming to get out.
Oh, wow.
You want to think inside of everyone is just, you know, just nerdy you.
Huh.
Like, if left to their own devices, everyone would just be mild and laid back. If they didn't get raised on the street, everyone would just want to sit on the internet all day, play Xbox, eat pizza, get fat. I don't know. Let's end this. My throat is so shot. This was not a good one. Not have said that, but I did, and I'm not gonna edit it. So whatever.
Bring Howard, freeze!
Oh god, yeah, I'm out of it. We played the outro song, Surf Rider. There we go. Oh, it's a short episode. Meh. Howard, thanks for joining me. If they want to get a hold of you on Twitter, what should they do?
Talk to you. Like, I don't acknowledge the... No, I'm kidding. At what the F and Heezy. That's my Twitter handle.
I'm John Papagiorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter. The show's website is inpapasbasement.com. You can find the show on both iTunes and Stitcher. inpapasbasement.com/iTunes to subscribe using that service, and inpapasbasement.com/Stitcher for that one as well. InPapasBasement.com again is the show's site. Go there for two episodes a week, as well as assorted links to the other projects that I do. And I guess that's it. Howard, thank you. And we are out of here.
Out. We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but